In your presence is fullness of joy. We love you. We just pray that our minds would be open, our hearts would be open, our spirit would be open to receive that which you've given us, this opportunity to partner with you in the expression of the new creation in the earth, that we would partner with you in bringing heaven to earth, that we would partner with you in the restoration of all things. We don't even understand, God. We don't understand them doctrinally. We just pray you would reveal them in our spirit. Holy Spirit, you search the deep things of God. Make them known to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been on this series all year of just abundance, abundant life, abundance, that Jesus came to give us abundant life. He's going to give us back more than the devil could have ever stolen, more than all negativity, more than all misdirection, false identities, all that, more than was taken from us. He's come to give us more, and that it would be overflowing. But we live in this, a title today, I just want to talk about incarnational overflow, that we are incarnate, we are the incarnation. Jesus, when we use the word incarnation, we're usually speaking of the birth of Christ, that though he was God, he became human. Though he emptied himself and he poured himself into us. He poured himself into our form. He brought his divinity into our humanity. He demonstrated in his life what it means to be a fully unhindered human being in communion with the Father, which was what we were created to be. And then in the mystery of his suffering and death, he took our pain, he took our disease, he took our sorrows through the torture and through the death on the cross. He took our death onto the cross, but because he was God, in that he destroyed death. He abolished death and he brought life and immortality to light. He became part of us. He was woven into our humanity. But what we don't often realize is we were woven into his divinity. That there's one mediator between the unseen, invisible, eternal, uncreated God and the visible, temporal, and definitely created humanity. And that's the man, Christ Jesus, who's both God and man completely, always was, always will be. And always was after his incarnation. I don't want somebody to pick that apart theologically, and then in his death, he destroyed our death. He partook of our death. And then in his resurrection, we're woven in to that. We're woven into his resurrection and to his ascension, that we are now live in this dual dimension of heaven and earth, and in his enthronement, that we're seated with him at the right hand of the Father, and that when he holds his scepter forth to bring change and bring the kingdom into the world, it's his body that is expressing this in the earth. Man, so would you rather live in that reality or in just, how you feeling today? Has anybody said something nice to you today? Are your feelings hurt today? Are you feeling kind of worried today? And all that, there's this tension between where we experience life and the promise that has been given to us. This is wild because usually a promise is future. This promise already has been given to us, and there's more. And there's more that we haven't yet accessed. There's more to look forward to. So, Holy Spirit, just give us the power to live in hope, to give us the power to navigate this life and the tension in which we live, to carry Christ in the world. So some of you probably had, a Catholic grandmother. Some of you maybe, brought up, and I love that. But, very common would be this. Right? Don't even have to say the words. Or if you had an Orthodox, a Greek grandmother, it'd be like this, different. But it's what that is, that's a sign of saying, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, usually if we say in the name, it means we're representing that person. We carry their authority, we carry their power to execute. And so, if you showed up and said, hey, I'm here in the name of, the governor of Pennsylvania, or I'm here in the name of the president of the United States, I'm here in the name of whatever we're in the name of, it's like we're there and what we say is what they're saying. So it's a really good thing to remind ourselves that we're here in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we're here not in our own, just our own experience and our feelings, but we're here carrying this eternal reality if we're children of God. There's a tension, isn't that, between the promise and the experience. And so I think our goal in this life is to close the gap, that our experience would be closer and closer to the promise. That it would, and no matter how close we get, there will always be more. That's what's exciting about it. So anyway, today we're going to be sharing the Lord's table, which we thought about. Maybe because there's people from the conference here that we wouldn't do this, but we usually do this every month, and I just don't want to miss it because this is a special meal. This is a feast of heaven, and everyone is welcome to share this meal with us. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, really, we should also be baptized. Being baptized and receiving the Lord's table are actually very connected with each other. But but you're welcome. You're welcome if you haven't been baptized, but you're a believer. You're welcome to have the Lord's table with us today. And we just know that you're promising you're going to get baptized as soon as possible. But so here's what happens when we come to this, and this is, in a couple of weeks, we'll be, celebrating Good Friday, when the Lord destroyed death. And I see ushers carrying these plates. We're not going to distribute them yet. Okay, so I'm just making the announcement well ahead of time. What closes this gap between this amazing reality? Do you understand that in this world we are like him? I think I'm... Uh-oh, I just killed the sound system here. I'm still on? Okay, I'm going to put it here, even though it doesn't look good. I don't want it to do that again. But this is the amazing... this is the amazing salvation that we have, that in this world we are like him. That's found in 1 John 4, verse 17. Or as he is, so are we in the world. As he is now, as he is, not as he was, but as he is, so are we in this world. So that we're expressions of his divine nature in this world. That's actually our assignment. Okay. So, and so this takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith that faith is what connects us to this. You know, we're set free, we're saved, we're healed, we're delivered by grace through faith. You know, it's his grace. He's freely given us this. It's a gift, but we don't access it unless we believe. And so we trust. We say, God, this is true. It's true. And I choose to rest my life upon this fact. And I love this in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's New King James. English Standard says it's the assurance of things hoped for. It NIV says it's being sure, and it, you know, what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. And I love this. This word, substance, is a really powerful word. It actually means a reality. You know, like, now faith is the reality of things that we hope for. So even though what we hope for by very nature is something that we're expecting, which means it's in the future because we're still waiting for the fullness of it, that in our faith, that what we're hoping for in the future becomes reality, so that we are in the future, in the present. And I mean, it's like, this is wild. I know I might be losing some of you, and I'm trying to make it really simple, but see, Carolyn Leaf said this, and we've said it before, but in that realm of the spirit, time is irrelevant. You know, like there's no present, past, future, because God occupies the whole sphere. So when we step into God, into his divine nature, suddenly the past and the future are as present as the present. As, how are you feeling today? Well, you know, I didn't get enough sleep. Now, how are you feeling today? I feel awesome. Because you are in this world. You are like him. And so faith is the reality of what we expect to happen. And so if what I'm expecting is a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the Lord, and, you know, we only, like, there's a traditional way of interpreting that that only has to do with when he returns. He will return. This same Jesus whom they're watching, he will come again in like manner. You know, this is what the angels said on the day that he ascended. And yet he is here whenever we're here. And so my blessed hope is not only that he'll appear at that final, you know, second coming, but that he'll appear in every interaction we have. Didn't he say, where two or three are gathered in my name, that there I am in the midst? That's a blessed hope, isn't it? I mean, like, hey, you know, we could just start talking about Jesus, and or we could just be loving each other, and he's there. Where two or three gather in my name. So it doesn't have to be official, like, Lord, we're here in your name. But it's like, no, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'm living my whole day. I'm having every conversation in his name. I'm having every interaction in his name. Now, I'm speaking ideally, and all the people who know me well go, help him, Lord. We need Charles to actually incarnate what he's preaching, but that's why I'm preaching it. You know, so the word is creative. But as we are in him, and we're in his name, Every interaction we have, His divine presence comes and fills. This is communion. This is participation in the divine nature. Okay. I know I just dove into the deep end of the pool. I apologize. But it's like, so, but see what we are. A lot of times we don't realize what we are. And if you don't know who you are, you're not going to manifest who you are. Right? I mean, if you think, my name's Charles, but if I thought my name was Jose, and I was born in Spokane, Washington, but if I thought I was born in, Granada, Spain, I would misintroduce myself every time. And they say, well, if your name's Jose and you're from Granada, why don't you speak Spanish? it's like there would be a disconnect between how I saw myself, how I introduced myself, and who I actually am. So if I'm born again from above and I'm now a child of God and I'm now new creation and old things are passed away, why do I talk about how traumatized I was because I had a mean older brother? Why is that even a reality? My reality is I'm accepted in the Beloved. That before the foundation of the world, I was chosen. That we messed it up and God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to set us all free, not to condemn the world, but so that the world through Him might be saved. And this is the judgment that's in the world. Is that when the light came, some of us decide, well, we like darkness better than light. Because in the light, everything's exposed. In the darkness, you kind of like, Ann and I, when we were young, we were in college, there was this French restaurant in Santa Cruz, and we hardly had any money. Like, we'd just go to eat maybe, once or twice a year, and we'd always have to really check the prices. But there was this French restaurant, and we went there. And it was so dark in this restaurant that they brought out a flashlight, and the menu was written with chalk on a little board. They put it by the table. You'd think you could see it, but you had to have a flashlight to see it. And so we saw the menu. We ordered the food. It's all romantic. And then I made a mistake of kind of looking around, and the walls had grease spots on them, and the carpet was junky and stuff. But, man, right there at the table in that little candlelight, and it was so romantic and awesome. And so there's sometimes where, like, okay, we wanted it to be dark, not light. Because if it was light, they would have had to really clean up their act and renovate the whole thing. And God has shown His light in our hearts so that we can get the spots out, that we can be beautiful, not just when you're only seeing a little bit, but when you see the whole thing. And, okay, I'm having fun. Light. So we're light. I'm going to read this passage, and I won't break it all out, but I think there's something worth declaring. 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, that's what God did. He just restored us to the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, we looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifest. We have seen it, and we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I'm reading from the ESV. If you have the New King James, it says, so your joy may be complete. The difference in the Greek is one little tiny mark. And I think, it's both, because when my joy won't be complete until your joy is complete, we're writing this. And what he's saying is, fellowship isn't, coffee and donuts, although you could have fellowship with coffee and donuts or with anything, but our fellowship is sharing the same reality. That's what the Greek word Koinonia there is also translated communion when it's talking about the Lord's Supper. It's also translated partake or participate when it's talking about partaking in the divine nature. And so what it means is that the reality of the Father and the Son is now our reality, and that we share it with each other. And how much communion do we have? It's like this water. Now, you can't see it. Sorry, it's not in the light. But there's a light shining in it, so I can see there's water. And there's water in here. Now that water's in me. And it's going to go all through my body. It's going to go into my cells. In fact, even though I don't look like a glass of water walking around, and you don't either, you're over 50%. Well, I mean, you should be much higher percentage, more like 70, 75% water. And because water molecules are so small, they're actually the most numerous molecules in your body. They outnumber every other molecule by a factor of billions or trillions. It's like 10 with a big number after it. I mean, so I can say, now I am the water and the water is me. You know, it's like I am. Do you see this? So I've told this story before, but you know, as a young believer, hadn't even finished the Bible, I used to pray, Lord, don't come until I finish reading the Bible, because I thought it'd be embarrassing to be in heaven. And I mean, I was so unchurched that I had to look at the index every time they'd say, turn to this. And then I saw some people had those Bibles with the little cutouts that had to, I said, I need that, you know, so. But so this is the state we're in, but we were praying, God, we want to share the good news with somebody today. So we were praying. We got in our car. It was snowing. We picked up this long-haired guy. And he was totally deceived. He believed this book that people thought came from a flying saucer, and which I actually knew about. Anyway, so we end up spending this time with him, and it seems like nothing's happening. We end up having dinner with his hosts. He's living in their house, and they tell us how messed up he is. And I'm about ready to leave, and he turns around and says, wait, don't leave. Why? You know the truth. Oh, yay. You want to know the truth? Because I was kind of bummed out, because we'd prayed, God, we want to. So we thought, well, it must be Bowen and Barbara, the hosts. And they were like, oh, cool, glad it works for you. We're fine, you know. And it's like, you know. And so he says, I said, do you want to know the truth? He goes, yes. So we go in this room. And I start sharing with him everything I know, and then a lot of things I don't know. You know, give him like some verses and stuff. And the presence of God filled the room, filled the atmosphere. It was like every good thing that ever happened in Toronto was happening in that moment in 1972. You know, November 1972, in a dark room with this guy that had damaged his brain on drugs. And there was like liquid light flowing. The whole, it was like a golden haze in that room, and waves. And so I was praying, God, baptize him in waves of your love. I'd never heard this language. And I had no idea if it was in the Bible, because I hadn't finished reading the Bible. but he got saved that day, and his life, you know, it changed, and, you know, totally changed. His mind was renewed. He got this really fancy job later, but in that moment, the guy whose house we're at wanted to kick us out. I mean, he was listening, and he got offended, because I said, listen, Mark, you know, Buddha's not God, and Muhammad's not God, and Krishna's not God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why I knew that verse, you know. No one comes to the Father except by me. I'm the door. You know, you have to come in through me. And so the host, Bowen's getting very offended, and he started to open the door, and he was just going to ask me to leave, because he was disturbed to have this spoken in his house. This is the condemnation of the world. Light comes in, and people don't always like the light. When he started to open the door, my face was glowing with light, like it was shining, and he was Jewish, and he remembered, as a little boy, learning about Moses coming off the mountain, that his face was shining. So he was in shock, and he closed the door. And I'm telling you, that reality is in each one of us. You know, that I didn't find this out till a couple of years later. That was the mercy of God, you know, because I would have started my own ministry. But a few years later, we ran into Bowen and he told us the story. And I'm telling you, you are light. You are light. And it says, this is the reality that we're in. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim to you also that you may have. Isn't that amazing? We declare things and it has the creative power to bring people into a reality that we wouldn't have without that spoken word. And so he says, we're proclaiming this so you can share our reality. And indeed, our shared reality is with the Father and the Son. All that the Father has, he's given to the Son, and the Son has given it to us. And indeed, our fellowship was with the Father, with the Son. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And this is the message we've heard, we proclaim to you, God is light. And in him's no darkness at all. But if we say we have fellowship, shared reality with him, communion with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Yeah. So I'm going to stop there. But do you understand? Light is how creation got started. You know, there was chaos. God created all things. It was chaos. There was no apparent structure to it. And God called forth light. Let there be light. And the light was the beginning of everything turning into what God had intended all along. So God sends light into us. He's caused light to shine in the darkness. His light is shining in our heart. He's made us light. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, I think, could be the Colossians, that we were formerly light, we were formerly darkness, now we're light. Do you understand? Light flows like water. Light, you can't have static light, and light itself is continually modulating between a wave-like structure and a particle-like structure. Light comes into the rest of matter and energizes it. It's not matter, it's energy, but in its particle form, it's like matter, but it comes into matter and energizes it to do everything that it does. Without light, there would be nothing else. So Jesus said, you're the light of the world, Matthew 5:16, you're the light of the world. He's talking about something. We're like a city set on a hill, and we let our light shine in front of men, and it creates the reality of God's presence. And people see our good works. Light energizes us for good works. Light, like a river, is always flowing. Light is always moving. Light is not static, and you are light. Okay, I think that's about as much as I can say here before we... Would you go ahead and pass out the communion elements? And so Jesus came to give us this massive gift. And the setting, and just go ahead and receive, and don't partake until we pray. We're going to bless and speak a creative word over this bread and this cup. The bread is gluten-free, just so everyone can partake, trying to be aware. And the cup is alcohol-free, so that anybody that's worried about that, I mean... That we're doing this to serve, not to be wise guys, but to serve, so that we can all partake without concern. And but I want you, while you're receiving this, know what it is you're receiving. The setting is the Last Supper. Jesus has, in 3 years, This is the power of an unhindered communion with the Father. In 3 years, he set in motion those things that would change the world and reverberate into all eternity. He didn't travel very far. He didn't write any books. All that stuff. One solitary life that was lived in perfect communion with God. He opened the door for us to come into that. And he became, not only did he come to serve, but he came to be the sacrifice that would set us free. In his presence, everyone feels loved. You know that? I mean, sometimes in church, not everyone feels loved. They feel like they're not good enough. They don't measure up. They did something wrong last week. They're not free from this or that. But I'm telling you, when you step into the presence of Jesus, there is a infinite, endless flow of he's glad you're here. He wants you to be with him. He loves you. He loved you before you were born. He's loved you every day. Not one thing you do can stop his love for you. If you're in his presence, you're in the presence of that love. But his presence is also awesome because there's nothing like it. That it's like when we get in his presence, we're stricken with holy fear and with this intense experience of being loved unconditionally. And we belong to him. And his greatest desire is that we would be grafted into him. And Paul was closing the service with this thought that even as a branch is grafted into the vine, that we're part of him, yet we're still ourselves. We don't just dissolve into this, cosmic light, but we're still ourselves. But now we're connected to the source of our life organically. It's flowing in us and through us, and this is what connects us all, that in that being grafted into the vine, we're connected with each other. We're sharing the same life. This is communion with the Father and the Son. How we stay in communion is walking in the light as he's in the light. And there's a continual flow of the life that's in the blood. It's continually cleansing us. We mess up, it cleanses us. We mess up, it cleanses us, and it transforms us. Because as we're gazing upon him, as we're feeding on the creative word of God that just reminds us and renews us and transforms us, that there's a continual washing of the water of the word, and things that used to bind us no longer do. But it says this, somewhere in there, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, would we just say, God, I messed up again? That's it. That's our confession. He's faithful. He's just. Like sometimes we're not faithful, but he's always faithful. He keeps covenant with us. He guards the covenant with us. And no man can snatch us out of his hand. He keeps that covenant. And so we come to him and say, I just messed up, Jesus. He goes, done. Case dismissed. You're forgiven. That's what it means. He forgave us our sins. He throws them out of court. And then he just washes us with light again. We're good as new. Over and over and over. Cleanses us from anything that would separate us. So everybody's got the night he was betrayed. There, he's having Passover, Pesach, with the Passover meal, the Seder, with all his disciples. They're all Jews. This is part of their culture. But he redefines it. You know, they did it to celebrate Exodus, that once they were slaves and they became God's chosen people. But he's leading us into a new Exodus, a great Exodus, you know, out of anything that would enslave us into freedom. And he took the bread. Go ahead and hold your bread. He took the bread and he gave thanks. He blessed it by giving thanks. That's where we get the word Eucharist from, that statement. Then he broke it. If you want to break it, you can. He broke it and then he gave it, saying, "This is my body broken for you." He's taking something which was so ordinary, part of their normal life, but it was part of their whole spiritual, religious connection with God. And he redefined it. He broke it. And he gave it. He blessed it, broke it, gave it. And he declared, "This is my body." You know what? It's almost like he's saying, if you eat this, you're giving me permission to be your Savior. You're giving me permission. I'm offering my covenant with you. I'm giving it to you, but you have to eat it. You have to let it become part of you. You have to, like, consume my body. You have to consume my gift to you so that my life will be in you and your life will be in me. So we take communion today. Are you ready? Will you give him permission to be your Savior again and again? I know you're all saved, but it's like we do this so we never forget. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you transform the ordinary things of our life into extraordinary things. We thank you that we eat his body today and his life is in us. In Jesus' name, can we all eat together? After that, then he took the cup. In Mark, he says, "This is my blood." As he delivered it to Paul, he said, "This cup is the new covenant I make with you in my blood. Will you drink it?" It's imagery here of the marriage ceremony, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage, the bride price being paid. It was part of their culture that bridegroom and bride would stand before her father and they would agree to be joined, to be married. And this is the betrothal. And then they would share this cup. Will we drink this cup? Will we make him our Lord? Why don't you stand up? I always feel like we should stand for the cup. We say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood, for your covenant. Yes, I drink this. Yes, I pledge myself to you, to keep myself for you as you gave yourself for me." Amen, amen. Let's drink the cup. Amen. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? You're full of His presence, His life. It's in you. We remind ourselves. We go back and we touch that eternal thing that before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. To the end of the ages, He's worthy. I just want you to know who you are. Jesus, the context of that meal is that Jesus, knowing the Father, had given Him all things. John 3 says that the Father loves the Son and gave Him all things. John 13 says Jesus, knowing the Father, had given Him all things, and knowing who He was, where He had come from, where He was going, He just got down and served. He washed the feet of the disciples. And in this, can you imagine this? That the Creator of the universe is serving us, washing our feet so that we'll understand how He sees us and who we really are. Oh, God. And He says, a new commandment I give you. Just as I have loved you, I want you to love each other. That same, like in His presence, that we just feel that love, that acceptance, that understanding, that perception of the real you, the real me. That people in your presence, in my presence, would feel that same infinite, eternal, creative love, that all things are possible, that there's nothing impossible, that we're not defined by our mistakes or our temptations, but we're defined by who God sees us to be. He said, John 14, 20, in that day you'll know I am in the Father and you are in me and I'm in you. And so in this moment, where we've just consumed these elements, these supernatural, this mystery, these sacraments that carry something much greater than the natural substance, that He's in you and you're in Him, that the Father is in Him, and by virtue of that, the Father's in you, the Father's in me. And that in our affection for human beings around us, in our affection for all creation, we release that joyful fellowship of the Trinity. Stand up. Jesus was praying in John 17. All this is happening. All this is happening in that Last Supper. And he says, he's praying now to his Father. And he's saying, Father, this is John 17, 10. All mine are yours. And yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. He's glorified in you. He's glorified in me. The glory you've given me, verse 22, I gave to them. I have given them. This is a grace gift. He's graced us with His glory that we're carrying. We don't feel like it because we don't step into this reality and gaze upon this great salvation. That they may be one just as we are one. That we might be one and still be ourselves. That I might be one with Brian, I might be one with Rick, I might be one with Ann, I might be one with Patty, I might be one with Edgar, Yadira. That we might be one with each other and still be ourselves. and that we are actually invited into this amazing life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is all about humility and all about generosity, that we defer, we say, not my will, but yours be done, that we celebrate, the Father loves the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, this is my Father in heaven, that we live in this life and we carry it with us in the world. Amen? Okay, I think I've gone as far as I can. But I want to say this. I know Dan McCollum preached on it, and I've preached on it many times. It says, his divine power has given us all things through his great and precious promises. And I give you full permission to access those promises every day, every moment, every conversation. I think we should somehow touch each other in a proper way, okay? Hold hands, put your hands on the shoulder. Some people worry about they're going to get infected. I don't know. You know, pardon? Okay. God, Father, Abba, Jesus, Savior, Lord, Holy Spirit, Lord and Giver of life, fill us with the love that has no end. Fill us with the joy that has no end. Release the miracles. Release the possibilities. Give us access to solutions in Jesus' name. While we were singing that, my hands were burning, and I want your hands to burn. I want your hands to burn. I want you to know that you're carrying the full package. I mean, you're carrying, it's not just for special people with special callings, but you are special people. You're his special treasure. If you're, just hold your hands up. Spirit of God, I just pray there would be an increase of faith, of access into this supernatural overflow that, like light, wherever we go, we would shine, we'd radiate, we would change things, God, that solutions would come. And I just send you out in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you're carrying the love of the Father, you're carrying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're carrying the communion of the Holy Spirit, that wherever you go, you're light. That you lay hands on the sick and they recover. That you speak hope and life and demons shriek and flee. I'm telling you, you're commissioned and you're given authority to do this because you are in communion with the Father and the Son and with each other. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm done. I'm sorry if this was kind of wandering around trying to get this out, but I just want to, if you came here and you're saying, I want prayer for this, I want to carry this, if you want to carry it, I just want you to come up and kneel down, okay? Because it's between you and God. But if you want prayer for healing, or you want prayer for a specific breakthrough in your life, or you don't know Jesus, I want you to come up. The ministry team will be here to pray and bless you. Amen. Be supernatural.